And we started yesterday the new sugya, where the Gemara discusses a whole series of different sukkahs that are built. That the common denominator is that they're either not being built specifically for the purposes of sukkah, or they're not being built by individuals who we normally associate normally for the purposes of sukkah. And the Braisa lumps together all these different sukkahs and says they're all okay. So we take a look quickly at the first Gemara comes again. Yesterday we just did a bel pel, you know, in front of us. So the Gemara says in sukkah chesam beis tarabonan gan bach. The machabashi tevas for sukkahs goyim, sukkahs noshim, sukkahs behemah, sukkahs kusim. Either sukkahs that are built by non-Jews, or sukkahs that are built by women, even though they're exempt from the mitzvah, or sukkahs that were not built by animals, but built for the purposes of animals, sukkahs built by kusim, all these kinds of sukkahs are technically okay. Sukkah become makom kshera. However, the Braisa puts the brakes on and says, "Muvad shdei misucheches kilchasa." Provided that the schach is put on properly. So the Gemara asks the question, "Mike, kilchasa, what in the world does that mean? Why would anyone ever have dreamt that if the schach is not put on properly, it would be okay? Just because it's built by people who are not obligated in the mitzvah, or it's built not for the purposes of sukkah, why in the world would we think that the standards are lower?" So the Gemara says, "That's not what it means." Amar Chizda, Vusha sol tzel sukkah. The Braisa is just reminding you that the schach has to be put on for the purposes of tzel. So the question is, what does that mean? So yesterday we spoke about the Machlekes Rashi and Beinu Tam. Rashi's opinion is, Vusha sol tzel means that in contrast to Litznius Bialma, the person just put some branches on top of this hut because he doesn't want people to see inside, but he's not putting it on for the purposes of tzel. So that sukkah is not acceptable min haTorah, even though a sukkah need not be made l'shma, doesn't have to be made l'shem mitzvah, but it has to be made l'shem sukkah for the purposes of sukkah. Sukkah means by definition a Torah tzel. So Rabbi Natam disagreed with this. Rabbi Natam said no, that when the Gemara says l'shem sukkah is the same tzel, it's not referring to what the person's intention is, but rather is that there has to be not all that much schach there. It has to be a sukkah-ish type of tzel. It has to be just a little bit of a shade. But if you pile it on so high that it prevents the rain from coming in, then the whole sukkah is not acceptable. So according to Rashi, we're insisting to make sure you put it on in a sense enough schach that it's done with our tzel. According to Rabbi Natan, we tell you don't put on too much schach. If you put on too much schach, then you've crossed the line, you've crossed the threshold of being almost in the realm of being a bias. So that view of Rabbi Natan is quoted by the Rosh, and take a look at the second of the Ma'amar Kamos. So the second line, at the end of the second line, Rabbi Natan Piresh, Shasol Etzel, V'lo Mu'uvelog Ibn Amotar. Says you have to be careful just to put it on, just merely for tzel, not for the purposes of being so thick that it's gonna prevent the rain from coming in. So we mentioned at the end of the show yesterday that there seems to be a machlokes as to just how problematic this is. According to Rabbi Natan, if a person went ahead and violated this halach and put on too much schach, and now we've reached a point where he can't rain in anymore, just how possible is that sukkah? So the Taz argued that it's only possible with the Rabban. He said, where does it say anywhere in the Chumash about it being possible with the Raisa? The Torah says you need three walls. The Torah says the schach has to be from certain kinds of materials. So I did that. I did everything. I put on too much schach. Since when does doing something too much, since when does that disqualify a sukkah on a level of the Raisa? Why did they make this gezeira d'rabban, and what's wrong with it? So Taz seemed to understand it's a gezeira atubayas, that if you let a person sit in a sukkah that's so heavy duty packed up with tzach, next thing you know he's going to say, what do I have to sit outside for? It's an inside. What's the difference? There's a ceiling. So it's a gezeira atubayas. But we pointed out at the very end of this year that there's a tosis back in the beginning of the first paragraph that we spoke about a couple months ago. But tosis seems to say that it's a real problem even on a level of d'araisa. What is the problem d'araisa? So unlike the Taz was saying it's a gzeira to a bias, but Tosafot seems to be saying it's not a gzeira to a bias, it is a bias. That you just built a house. Even though you have some nice Ashpizin signs on there and you have some nice fruit hanging from your ceiling at the end of the day, but you have a house. If the schach is so thick that it can't rain through, so that's considered to be a house even on a level of d'araisa. How did Tosafot know that? Where did Tosafot figure that out? That if it rains into the sukkah, so it's considered to be a house, and it's possible in the Torah. So Tosus got it from the sukkah at the beginning of Masechas Tainus. When the Gemara says if it rains on sukkahs, that's considered to be a simen klala. That's considered to be a curse. Why is it such a curse if it rains on sukkahs? So Tosus says just pile up the schach a little bit higher, and you'll be able to sit in the rain. So why did Chazal speak about it being such a terrible curse? So Tosus says, you see from here that that's not an option. It's impossible. You're not allowed to pile up the schach so much. If you're going to pile up the schach so high, it's going to be no longer sukkah. So Tosafot learned almost from the roundabout. And the fact that Chazal call it a Simen Klolam B'chag, that must indicate that there's no way to rectify it, and there's no way to rectify it even on the love of Deraisa. So there are other Rishonim who probably didn't buy into Rabbeinu Tam altogether. First and foremost, Rashi. The whole source for Rabbeinu Tam was his reading of this Gemara, Rusha Sol Hashem Tzel, which he interpreted to mean Tzel, but not too thick. According to Rashi, who interpreted Letzel to mean something totally different, according to Rashi, Letzel meant that you have to make sure you put it on for the purposes of shade, not for just tznius. According to Rashi, there's no source for Rabbeinu Tam's din. If there's no source for the din, then it's probably not true. The general rule is everything's kosher to prove impossible. Everything's built to prove an answer. So the sukkah is kosher. It's got three walls, got tzchach finished. So now Rabbeinu Tam is coming and telling you a chiddush that if you pile up the tzchach too much, it becomes like a bias. So Rashi says there's no such gemara. So that's not what the gemara means. The gemara means that you have to put it on l'shem tzchach, not l'shem tzel, not l'shem tzidius b'yalma. So according to Rashi, Pashas, there is no such halacha. So according to Rashi, let's go back to Tosfos' question. So why is rain on Sukkah such a simen klol? What's such a big klol about the rain on Sukkah? Just pile up a little bit more tzchach. So different achorim give different answers according to Rashi. Why is it such a simen klol? Because you didn't pile up so much tzchach. How come I skied off so much wood? In Ochinami, according to Rashi, it is possible to circumvent the simen klol. It is theoretically possible to pile up a little bit more tzchach. But the Maaseh, the guy didn't. The guy doesn't have. The guy's not going to, whatever it is. So, Ba'asheh Usham, the way it is, he can't sit in the Sukkah. So the way it is, he can't sit in the Sukkah because of its star, because it's raining, it's not Mechom Dira, whatever the reason why rain disqualifies the Sukkah. The Maaseh, the guy can't sit in the Sukkah now. So the Rabban Shalom has orchestrated a situation where the person cannot fulfill the mitzvahs. That's a bad thing. That's taken as a Simen Klala B'chag. Could the person theoretically circumvent the Klala and pile up Moschach? Could be. But the Maaseh is not going to. So Rabbeinu Tam's big raya tells his big raya in the Beis that you see from here, raya from Rabbeinu Tam. So Rashi probably wasn't so concerned with that raya. But Akopanim, we have two different approaches in the Rishonim. What exactly the Asol Tzel is all about?
Just what about that scene with stars,
though? See, that's another story. That's the Mishnah speaks about Machlokes B'Shabbos. We're going to talk about that in a minute. About Machlokes B'Shabbos, about if you can't see any of the light coming in, so maybe that's the Chachilah, maybe that's a little bit too thick. But that's for sure not going to pass the Sukkah. So if you take a look at the third of the Mamakamos, there is a cryptic statement of the tour within the sugya, which may, according to some, shed its significant light on Rabbeinu Tam, and according to others, not necessarily. So let's take a look at what the tour says or didn't say in the third of the Mamakamos. So the tour in Rechaim and Simon Tafresh Lamed Aleph quotes Rabbeinu Tam Pasach. Rabbeinu Tam said, Shemasa Ova Ma'od. If a person made the schach very, very thick, now the context of what this Rabbeinu Tam is talking about is, let's do far two. It's going on the Mishnah. The Mishnah, the second barak of Sukkah, talks about if the schach is very thick, the Mishnah doesn't talk about the rain. The Mishnah talks about not being able to see the light coming in from the stars. So Rabbeinu Tam pasuk shemasa ova me'od. Rabbeinu Tam said, if you make the schach very, very, very thick, how thick is thick? She'ena mati yochal erid ba, that the rain can come in, sapsula, then the Sukkah is not acceptable. Even though Beis Hillel do accept the schach when the schach is thick, that's what the Mishnah, the Gemara, talking about in the second parak. Mishnah quotes Machlokes B'Shabbos Beis Hillel. If the schach is fairly thick, that none of the light is coming in, so Beis Shabbos says that's a problem. Beis Hillel says that's okay. So comes Rabbeinu Tam and says, even though you can't see the stars, it's still okay. That's only if it's thick enough that you can't see the stars. But if it's so thick, it's so piled on, that's for sure no good. So Rabbeinu Tam put the brakes on that Gemara. So thick schach is okay, but too thick is going to be a problem. And the shear of how thick is thick is if it can't rain in anymore. So this was the tour quoting the view of Rabbeinu Tam. Avi Adoni's al, this is now the tour commenting. He's saying that his father was the Rush. Avi Adoni's al, Lohevi Devar Bipsakov. So the tour testifies about his father, that his father, the Rush, did not quote Rabbeinu Tam in his Psakim. In all the words of the Rush, the Piskei Halacha of the Rush, the back of a Masechta Sukkah, there's no mention of this Rabbeinu Tam. So if you read the tour Kipshuto, it sounds like
he's commenting that his father wasn't concerned with Rabbeinu Tam. It wouldn't be the first one, not the last one, not to be concerned with Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam's whole pshat was based on the reading of Vusha Saul Letzel, which Rashi had another pshat. So Mestama the Rashi didn't buy into that. Mestama the Rashi thought that Rashi was right. So the Torah is, it's hard to find a better, aid, a better Talmud about what the Rosh Hashita was than his own son. So the Torah writes categorically, Avi Adonis Alo Hevi Dvar B'Psachem. There's a big problem, though. The big problem is the Rosh does quote Rabbeinu Tam. Not only did the Rosh quote Rabbeinu Tam, the Torah was the one who put together the Piskei Ra. Of course the Torah knew that his father quoted Rabbeinu Tam. What in the world did he mean that his father didn't quote Rabbeinu Tam? It's Mamash Astir Galuya. The Rosh says, Beh Pemal, he quotes Rabbeinu Tam. So what in the world did the Torah mean when he says his father didn't quote Rabbeinu Tam? So the Bach came up with a fascinating reading of the Torah. The Torah's two original Perushim on the Torah with the Beis Yosef and the Bach. So the Bach came up with a fascinating reading of the Torah. With the Bach, it's like a brisk Bach. The Bach was hundreds of years before Brisk started. But the Bach suggests that maybe what the Torah is driving at is as follows. If you look really carefully, there are two different scenarios that Rabbeinu Tam is talking about. There are two different cases that the Rishonim quote Rabbeinu Tam about. One is our sugya, the sugya sukkas ganvach, sukkas ragvash. These sukkas, the mamash is half-baked, put-together sukkas that are so shvach. The sukkas are, they were made really to hold animals, and they were made to hold the guys to watch the fields in the back. They were made by goyim, they were made by it's very, very strange kinds of sukkas that were not really made for the purposes of sukkah per se. That's one scenario. That's one place where Rabbeinu Tam is quoted. Then there's a second place where Rabbeinu Tam is quoted. That's a sukkah in the second parak of sukkah, which is built the shape sukkah. It's got a shpizit hanging there. It's got his fruit hanging there. It's got everything was set up for the purpose of sukkah. The problem was somebody made the schach just a wee bit too packed on top. That's a different case for Rabbeinu Tam. Now we thought that, well, it's the same shaila. What's the difference? Whether the schach was made for the purpose of the schach, wasn't made for the purpose of the schach. At the end of the day, a sukkah not made for the sukkah is still kosher. The only criteria, the only fact you have to ask yourself is the schach too thick? So comes the Bach, and he takes a step back. He says, no, not so simple. He says, the answer to the question, do we follow Rabbeinu Tam that all thick schach, any schach that's so thick that rain can't come through, is that really truly a problem? Says the Bach, not necessarily. It depends. It depends on context. It depends on what was the purpose of the structure in the first place. If the purpose of the structure was really truly made as a sukkah, it was made the shame sukkah, it was made for the purposes of a sukkah, so how can you tell me, because you have a little bit of extra schach, it's not a sukkah, that's a bias already. What do you mean it's a bias? It's a joke. It's not a bias, it's a sukkah. It's got the shpizin sign, it's got the whole nine yards, the whole look, the whole sukkah look. Somebody that looks like a sukkah, talks like a sukkah, smells like a sukkah. It's a sukkah. I've got a little bit of too much schach on top. No, what's the big deal? But if you build yourself something that we can't even tell what this is. This is some kind of a hut in the backyard somewhere that was built by Goyim. It was built by the shepherds. It was built by the kusim. Built for the all kind of strange reasons. It was really built as a sukkah. So then, what are we going to decide? What is this thing? Is this a sukkah or is it not a sukkah? So we have to look at context. So if it's built in such a way that it resembles a sukkah, it's got all the makings of a sukkah. It's got a very, very thin layer of schach. We can call it a sukkah. But if it's built mamish like a structure, it's built like a different kind of a structure, so that can't be a sukkah anymore. So comes the Bach and says, even though in the worldview of Rabbeinu Tam, there's no difference. According to Rabbeinu Tam proper, according to Rabbeinu Tam himself, anytime it can't rain into the sukkah, it's possible. I don't care whether you rain into the sukkah, not the sukkah. The sukkah that rain can't penetrate, it's absolutely possible. Says the Bach, the Rosh didn't accept Rabbeinu Tam to the extreme of that. The Rosh says that it depends. Sometimes we do follow Rabbeinu Tam, and sometimes we don't follow Rabbeinu Tam. Where does, if you look at the Medayik in the Rosh, where does the Rosh quote the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam? He quotes it in Ar Sugya, but Sukkah's Ganvach Rakfash. But the Sukkahs that weren't built the same Sukkah, that's the only place that the Rosh quotes Rabbeinu Tam. But in the case of a real Sukkah that was just made thick, that's what the Torah means when he says, Avi Adonis Alehevi Dvar B'Psakov. He says, my father didn't bring Rabbeinu Tam in this Piskei Halacha here. He didn't mean he didn't quote Rabbeinu Tam altogether. He never said, he didn't quote Rabbeinu Tam. He quotes Rabbeinu Tam five lines earlier in the previous piece. He didn't quote Rabbeinu Tam in his Psakim in this Sugya because the Torah's claim, that's a Rosh, that we only meet Rabbeinu Tam halfway. We accept Rabbeinu Tam when it doesn't look like a Sukkah, but we don't accept, we reject Rabbeinu Tam when it looks like a Sukkah. So when all the dust settles, we have three Shittas now in the Gedolei Harishonim as to is there such a requirement that it can't rain into the sukkah. So three different possibilities. So one extreme view is the view of Rabbi Natan himself. Rabbi Natan personally held, if it rains, if it can't rain into the sukkah, done, finished. You have to have the ability to have a sibin klala. If you don't have that ability to have a sibin klala, it's got to be able to have the possibility to rain. So if it can't rain into the sukkah, we're done with history. Finished. The sukkah's puzzle, according to some deraisa, some derabanan. If the other extreme is this Rashi, Rashi never heard of this. The whole Rabbi Natan started in Asugya. Rashi had a different pshat in Asugya. There never was, never such a din. Never did it say anywhere that it has to be able to rain. Sibin klala. We'll circumvent the Sibin klala. Then you have the third possibility, the Bach is claiming Bidas and Rashi the Tuar, that the answer to the question, does an inability to rain disqualify Sukkah? The answer is, it depends. It depends what kind of Sukkah we have. If we have what is objectively a real bona fide sukkah, then inability to rain won't ruin it. If it's something that anyway is half a sukkah to start with, and now you put the mitzchach on, so that already takes out of the picture, it's no longer called a sukkah. But everything, of course, is revolving around Rabbi Natan's pshat in the Gemara, Vusha Sol Utzel, which we pointed out already, Rashi had a different pshat. But now, the sukkah begins to go in a different direction, because there's a third pshat in Rishonim, what those words mean, Vusha Sol Utzel. If we take a look at the fourth of the Ramakamas, so the Ritva in Sukkah Dav Chesem Beis has a totally different pshat. V'hanochon, the correct pshat is the Hachi Kamar Ubulvad Shetehei Asuya L'Tzel Bulvad V'lo Asuya L'Dira. That when you build these funny structures, the Sukkah Goyim, the Sukkah Noshim, the Sukkah Beim, etc., you have to make sure that you don't do them, you don't build them for the purpose of actually living there all year long. If you built them as a more of a permanent structure, you want to live there all the time, that already becomes a problem. So unlike Rashi, who said that you have to build it with the intention of tzel, unlike the intention of tznius. Unlike Rabbi Natan, who said you have to put not too much chach to prevent the rain from coming in, the Ritva is saying it's not a question of what it looks like. It's not a physical structure issue. It's an intention issue. But the intention is tzel versus dira. Because building a sukkah for the purposes of dira, as strange as that may sound, even though we like sukkahs to be dira, teshukei tadura, but not too much. Dira here means if you're building it for a permanent year, you're building it to live there all year long, that already runs into a problem. And what is the problem exactly? So the Ritva goes on. Because if you build the sukkah, you know, it's the same sukkah, it's the same amount of schach, it's the same kinds of walls, it looks the same, but if your intent was for the purposes of living there, that becomes elevated somehow to a diras keva, and that becomes problematic. And then the Ritva throws in a curveball at us. And that becomes tasev alomina osui. What does that mean? Tasev alomina means that you have to put on the schach. The schach can't come about by itself. So what does this have to do with Tasav Lomar Asui? So I think maybe, maybe the Ritva is driving at is that if I built it mitchila for the purposes of Keva, why can't I just change my mind? So I built it last month for Keva, and now comes Erev Sukkah, you know, I'm not going to live it in Keva anymore. I'm just going to change my mindset and have it temporary. It's the same Sukkah. You can't tell the difference anyway. So that's already Tasav Lomar Asui, because you didn't build it as a sukkah. It came about being a sukkah almost by itself, but you're changing your mindset. That was machshir d'schach, that's no good. That's tas lo menos. Maybe that's what the Ritva was driving at with that last line.
Even taking off schach wouldn't help, because it's still just tas lo menos.
No, well, if you take it off, then you put it back on again.
Just taking off, if there's so much schach.
No, but the Ritva's not talking about a lot of schach anymore. The Rabbi Natan was talking about a lot of schach. The Ritva says, you built a regular, plain, simple, so it looks the same. Nobody can tell the difference except you. You and the Rabbi Shem, the other ones who know that this sukkah was made l'shem dira, so that sukkah is puzzle. Minat Torah.
But weren't all these sukkahs made previously? This category.
Right, they were made for the purposes of Dira. They were all made for the purposes of Dira. That's the problem, says the Ritva. That if they were not made for Dira, they were just made for, you know, for a couple of days, a couple of weeks, they were made just for the guys to watch the field for a couple of days, that's okay. And that's what Rav Chisda means when he says, but Vusha Sol Itzel Sukkah, you have to make it for Sukkah, i.e., not L'Shem Dira. So if these things were made L'Shem Dira, then the Tach Apostle. That's exactly what Rav Chisda was saying.
Weren't all these things?
No, that's exactly what the Gemara qualifies by saying. All of these are only kosher if they were made l'tzel sukkah. If not, then they're a problem.
But then just moving on from schach would kosher it.
Well, if you take the schach off, put it back on again, right?
Then that would be fine.
Yeah, that's like that means you just rebuilt the sukkah, right? When you take off the schach and put it back on again, that's called rebuilding the sukkah, right? It wouldn't be enough to just take one or two walks. You'd have to take the whole schach down and start over again, right? So the question is, what is the nature of this psul that the Ritva is saying? That if it's made ladira, it's no good. We learned a lot of sukkahs in sukkah already. We haven't seen this idea yet, that it looks like a sukkah. It's not like Rabbeinu Tam that has too much chach. It looks like a sukkah, and it's there for sale, but you almost overdid. You're guilty of overkill. You built it too well. You made it too much of a dira. So the Ritva threw in a phrase, have like keva. And when you see the phrase keva, used by the Gemara and the Rishon in Masechta Sukkah, so the wheels start to turn. You start to think about the sugya of Diras Keva versus Diras Arai. We spoke about this many, many times. If we started out one of the earliest sugyas, the Beis, we quoted the Machlekes, Rabbi Yudin, the Rabbanan, or other Tanaim also got involved about what exactly is the image of a sukkah. Because the Torah gives us almost contradictory messages about building a sukkah. On the one hand, the Torah says Teishu came to Duru. It's supposed to be a Dira. It's fakir, that's good. It's supposed to be as much of a house as possible. On the other hand, the Torah also says, Pasukas Teisha Shivas Yomim. Shivas Yom has the connotation, 7 days and no more. So what am I supposed to do? What exactly am I supposed to do? So the Tanoim had a big machlokes is about this. So some of the Torah were of the opinion, that was a few of Rabbi Yehuda and others, that the Torah really wants the model to be a Diras Keva. We really want it to be as close to a house as possible. The other thing is that the Torah is not telling us to live in the Sukkah all year long. Pasukas Teisha Shivas Yomim. So Shivas Yomim is not defining the Chevtza, according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Shivas Yom is defining the Zman HaMitzvah. The Chevtz of the Sukkah is defined by the phrase Teishu. So we licked him with the same phrase. But Sukkah's Teishu Shivas Yomim. So Rabbi Yehuda saw Teishu as a definition of the Chevtz of the Sukkah. Make it as Keva as possible. And take Diras Keva and live in it as a Maisa Mitzvah for 7 days. And the Rabbanan looked at it the totally other way. The Rabbanan said, no. The Sukkah's Teishu Shivas Yomim. Shivas Yomim defines the Chevtza. Namely, if you built it as a Chevtza that's basically 7 day oriented, you built it as a temporary Chevtza, then you're okay. If you build it as a permanent Chevtza, then you're going to be in trouble. Then you're going to have a problem. And how long are you supposed to sit in the Sukkah? The Sukkah's Teishu Shivas Yomim. You should live in a temporary structure for 7 days. So when the Ritva says that, oh, yeah, you have trouble here because it's a Diras Keva, so maybe that's only going according to some of the Tanoim. Maybe the Ritva means to say that we happen to paskin, the Sukkah is supposed to be a Diras Arai. That's why going back to the base, we paskin the Sukkah is more than 20 amos it's possible, because that's called a Diras Keva. When you build something, such a tall structure, by definition, that's called more of a permanent kind of a structure. So maybe that's what the Ritva is driving at, that if you have a sukkah that's made with Torah's dira, so that crosses the line already, that's already too much keva for our taste. If that would be true, then that would be a machlekes ha-Tanaim. So it's not clear. The Ritva doesn't say befeirush that this is linked to the dira's keva, dira's aroi, v'rabuta the rabbanon, but maybe it's possible that's what he's driving at. But I'll call upon him, the Ritva has just told us a third pshat in the Gemara, and now the question is, well, what does everybody else think about this pshat? Does Rashi accept such a pshat? Does Rabbeinu Tam accept such a pshat? Was any Rishon who had a different understanding of our sugya, any Rishon who learned that Tavusha Sa Kehilchasa means something else, means tzel in contrast to tzidias, or meant a little bit of schach, not too much schach to bring the rain. It's a different tosis, yeah. Chaim Pishon Tosis, that is not our tosis. So the question is, what does everybody else say about this Ritva? So here we have, which is the first time, we've been learning sukkah for 7 months already. This is the first time we're finding a sheet in Rishon that's saying, a sukkah that's, it mavish looks like a sukkah. It's shaped like a sukkah. It's built like a sukkah. Nobody can tell the difference. But you know that you built it to live here the entire year. That's possible in a Torah. That's somehow not called a sukkah anymore. That's called a diras keva. So does everybody agree to that? Or the other Rishon will learn different pshat with Agamara. Maybe don't buy into this whole story. So a lot of this begins to revolve around a sugya on the 5th of the Rambam Kamos. We'll just start it. We'll be able to finish it today. The Gemara starts at Daf Yud Aleph and Aleph with the following discussion. The Mishnah discusses the possibility of building a sukkah using planks of wood. Now, if you think about it, what could be wrong with planks? What's wrong with boards? A board is made out of wood. So wood grows in the ground. It's not connected to the ground anymore. It's what's called pshute kliyetz. It's just a flat piece of wood. In order for a wooden utensil to become tamei, it has to have what's called a base kibble. It has to be like a bowl, it has to be like a cup, something that has a receptacle to it. If you just have a flat piece of wood, even though it's serving as some kind of a utensil, it's not makabel tumah, not minatara, pashas, not midraban, it's not makabel tumah at all. So what could be wrong? So you should be able to take these big planks of wood and throw them on top of the sukkah. What's wrong with it? So the Mishnah begins to discuss about that being a problem. And the Mishnah discusses there are different tanoim, we have different views on it. Just how much of a problem is it? Is it only a problem if it's very big planks, more than four tefachim, four tefachim, less than four tefachim, back and forth, the whole sugya is whole detailed in Machlekes HaTanoim about what the limitations of planks are. Question: what's the problem in the first place? What is wrong with the planks of wood? So the Gemara begins in the fifth of the Ram, comes on Marav. Machlekes bin Asarim Sheesh ben Arbo. The Machlekes HaTanoim about using planks, using boards was, if they're really, really wide boards, four tefachim wide, the Rabbi Meir Islay Gezeris Tikra, from Yehuda Leisay Gezeris Tikra. Rabbi Meir was concerned that if we let a person use a board, use a plank of wood, next thing you know is he's going to use a ceiling. He's going to say, what is a ceiling? A ceiling is made up of planks of wood. So if you see a guy throwing on a big board of wood on top of his sukkah, so next thing you know is he's going to use a ceiling, and that's what's called Gezeris Tikra. So Rabbi Meir was concerned with Gezeris Tikra, and apparently Rabbi Yehuda wasn't so concerned with Gezeris Tikra. The question is, what is this Gezeris Tikra? What are we afraid of exactly? What's so wrong, what's so terrible about using a ceiling? What are the Tanoim concerned with? So Rashi in the spot says as follows. Rashi in the sixth of the Mamakamas, Rabbi Meir the Pasil Isle Gezeris Tikra. Imachshus Behu, if you let a person use these wide boards, also the maybe the guy's going to say, Mali L'sachich Be'elu, Mali L'eshef Tachas Kuras Be'isi. If I'm sitting in a sukkah with these four tefachim wide pieces of wood on top, and I go back into my house, and by God, that's how I built my house. My house also has four tefachim wide pieces of wood. What's the difference? Avhinasu b'mekura. So if you let me live in such a sukkah, next thing I'm going to sit in my house. And what's so terrible? So sit in your house. What's so terrible? It also finds the wood. So what's the problem? It's kosher. No, Rashi says, v'hai v'adei posel. A house is for sure no good. Why? The sukkah amrachamana v'lo beisa shakoyim asashana. The word sukkah has a certain connotation. A sukkah means not a house. So a house, I don't care what it's shaped like, I don't know what the material on top is, I don't care if it has all the quote-unquote materials that are criteria to be a sukkah. If you're there all year long, it's out of the question. Sukkah merachaman of lo beis shekoli masashona. So it seems pretty clear that Rashi does accept this idea of a house of Aldira being not acceptable. Hopefully that's shown in the next year. We have to try to see what Rashi did, or perhaps Rashi did not say, how this impacts on our entire discussion. Okay.